Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Let's Talk Ghosts. I'm your host, Doc J of the Ohio Paranormal Organization. Sandy G is our co-host.
Hi, listeners.
We are part of the Free Spirit Network, all striving to give you quality paranormal information from various guests each week. Last week, we had Cynthia Frawley from New England Paranormal Video Research Group, and that was a good time. I want to thank Cindy for being able to make her time slot, and hopefully she'll be able to come back with us again in the future. Next week, we have a special episode. It's not really going to be about ghosts, but it is spiritual. I'm going to be doing a live hypnosis session. We're going to be having Kathy Bradshaw come on the show for a past life regression using hypnosis. We are doing this in celebration of World Hypnosis Day, which is January 4th. But our show is going to be aired on January 3rd, so don't miss that next week. It should be a fun time. Live hypnosis. Tonight's guest we have been waiting for with anticipation, and finally we get Elsie of Angels and Ghosts on our show tonight. How you doing, Elsie?
I'm doing good, ladies. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Wonderful.
Thank you for coming on our show.
Thanks for having me.
It's a joy.
Yeah, we've been reading up on your your website, which your website, that is the whole reason that kind of got you started, kind of, didn't it?
Well, the website Angels and Ghosts got started in 2004, but my, I thought about that question going back into my childhood. Probably like most ghost enthusiasts, I had an interest in Scooby-Doo and some spiritual experiences. You know, you get older as an adult, and you might not remember some of those, but I started thinking back when I was a kid, and my love for ghosts, my love for Halloween, and then I remember a distinct spiritual experience that really made me think as a young person, and then was brought back to my memory, and that was kind of maybe the roots to my, fascination with ghosts in the spirit world.
Yeah, well, that's common. I mean, yeah, I think that's similar to how we're all here. but there's a lot of people that became interested in adulthood, but the majority of us started wee young.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot all about Scooby-Doo.
Great cartoon, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's old. You know, I mean, they were ghost hunters back then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, it just sent, you know, a young mind, you know, caused my mind anyhow to be open and you know, think about things other than, you know, what you physically see, taste, hear, touch, or smell. And I also think about, I had mentioned a spiritual experience. This is kind of a goofy story, but I'll tell it to you real briefly. When I was a child, there was a butterfly that was playing with me, and I was playing with it. And, I mean, it was chasing me, and I was chasing it, and I accidentally broke its wing, tore its wing. And I remember this distinctly. It fell to the ground. I was crying. You know, I went to my mom. She told me, take it out in the field. And I did, and prayed for it. And I looked at that butterfly, and that butterfly looked at me. Its wings popped up and took off. And I had forgotten that for many, many years. And I started thinking back that, you know, to that time, and I'm wondering how many of us have had experiences like that, whether it be Scooby-Doo that kind of piqued our interest, that was used to awaken something in me, or a flying insect, or, you know, that was used to lead me down this path where I am today.
Wow. That is pretty interesting. When I was little, I had my puppy die in my hands, and that was pretty intense for a child. I can remember crying my eyes out, and of course the puppy died. So I think I was mean to the puppy right prior to that, and never really let myself get over it, you know.
Uh-huh.
But that was years and years ago. I was probably only 7. It's amazing, kids, when you think you're playing, you play a little rough, and then something happens to the dog, and
you feel bad for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But,
But you got to see the butterfly actually fly away and be better. That's a very spiritual, uplifting experience.
It was also humbling, and it was at the same time, you know, that butterfly took off, and it wouldn't play with me anymore.
I don't blame it.
So, you know, I was kind of, you know, still a little bummed by that, but I had the consolation that it, you know, I didn't damage it for its little short existence, you know, for good. So, but, you know, then, you know, just to get back to what you're asking me, I fell deeply into religion back in the 90s, actually late 80s, 90s, and I was into the Bible every day, and I studied and studied, and I eventually became an elder. I eventually became the head elder of the church that I was attending at the time, and a teacher, and I preached and brought charismatic Christianity to that church, and saw a lot of amazing things. And that time of awakening for me, I think back that I can remember I had some type of visitation, and at the time I had attributed it to being God. And, you know, for a week I felt this presence of spirit. And that was the first time that I can ever remember that. And it just changed me. And as I began seeking to be led by that or hear what that was telling me within, or to feel that touch, it eventually led me away from traditional religion and led me towards spirituality. And so I have quite a different outlook. And I tell you all that to bring you to 2004, when Angels and Ghosts was started. The idea, you know, that there's a lot of ghost sites out there on the web, but the idea was to create a website. And I believe I was really led by someone or, you know, people on the other side to create the site and tie in the spiritual, maybe even to take a look at traditional biblical ideas and flip them upside down to see maybe a spiritual interpretation of those and tie it in with the paranormal, in with ghosts and angels, because I felt that there was really a void out there. There's a lot of people trying to see the technical side of the paranormal, trying to use devices to detect the presence of ghosts and spirits, or record audio or video or capture on film or, you know, whatever. But there's not very many people, it seems, that are working to try to put the pieces of the puzzle together of the spiritual with what evidence is collected out there. You know, how does this line up? And to me, why this is important is if ghosts truly exist, it kind of debunks traditional Christian teachings, because it's at least from a fundamentalist view, because what we were taught and what I taught back in the 90s was that, you know, when you die, you're either in heaven or hell. That leaves no place for ghosts. And so for me in 2004, when I was hearing these things within me and being led in this direction, it was flipping all those traditional ideas upside down, and my mind, was open to looking at it from a different perspective.
Do you ever think that, though, that what they meant is it eventually leads to one or the other, and maybe that it was a metaphor for a frame of mind?
Could you be more specific? As to the, my mind's like, sorry about that, everybody out there.
That's okay. What I mean is, now most religions, and, you know, I don't down any religion, and I'm not supporting it either. I'm kind of very neutral and stuck in the middle, and there are good sides and bad sides to them all. So when I say this, I say kind of treading on a a wire. When they say that there's heaven and hell, don't you think that they meant everything leads you eventually to, and they kind of forget that there is a road that gets us there, that we don't just jump from one to the other?
Well, I think, and I certainly don't want to bash anybody's religion or beliefs,
like,
or whatever.
Purgatory is what I mean, like a witch.
That's what I was going to say, because we believe in purgatory.
Well, I can't say, you know, that's incorrect, because to me, with words and you know, beliefs, everybody's idea of the meaning of a word or a term is different. You know, my idea of hell, when I hear the word hell, might be different from somebody else's idea of hell based upon their experiences and their understandings. So I guess if you're going to ask me what my beliefs on heaven and hell would be, I would look at hell as a state of mind.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah, and I would see heaven as that, or heaven as being, you know, the spirit realm of light, you know. So
I look at hell as being the lack of God's love, not accepting love in your life, having no light, no warmth, no, it's lack of love.
Mm-hmm.
I look at heaven as abundance of love. That's all.
Yeah, and you know what? I have absolutely no problem with that, and I would agree with that. When I mentioned scriptures, I kind of took, instead of trying to take the Bible and just throw it away, I looked at it like there's a lot of spiritual truths that have just remained hidden right in front of us. And so when Jesus was speaking of this, he was saying this, not that. Look, here, can you see this? And it's like, wow, you know, that's how I saw it. And, you know, it's an amazing tool that can be opened up and revealed by Spirit, you know, the spiritual truths that lie within it. So, hey, I'm there with you.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I don't think there's a right and a wrong. I think that there's just what works for each individual.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
And as many people as we have on Earth, there's that many different varieties of what's working for them.
Well, there's.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say you're right. You're right there, because I found that my time and place with the religious organization I was in and where I was at was used for a purpose in my life. So, for me to say that, you know, somebody, you know, no matter what religion you're in, is wrong, I won't do that, because I know that everybody is at the place probably where they need to be for whatever purpose, for whatever they need to receive out of that, whatever they need to hear or learn, and it does have its place and purpose. So
even the negative stuff.
Absolutely.
Even the negative stuff. A lot of people will sit there and say, oh, I was meant to live like, you know, in hell. Well, if it was meant for you to go through that in order to see the positive, maybe you wouldn't have recognized the positive if you didn't experience the negative.
There you go.
I mean, if I wouldn't have experienced living with this complete idiot, I wouldn't have recognized a really good man when I saw him this time around.
You weren't talking about me, right? No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm talking my current husband.
I know. I was talking about the idiot being me.
I'm very lucky, and, you know, we only fight, I would say, 0.1% of the year, and the rest, 99%, is good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've found your soulmate. You know, in these subjects, you know, that we're kind of brushing on right now, I've gone into depth on the site. I mean, there are spirit on the angels and ghosts. There are spiritual writings, thoughts, ideas, concepts from all these. You know, all these topics you can think of spiritually speaking. So it's not just ghosts and ghost pictures and ghost stories and EVP and videos and angels and angel stories, angel pictures and all that. There's really some deep spiritual thinking and thoughts. You know, I think back in 98, 99, I started putting a lot of the ideas that were in my head down on paper, and I thought really I was writing a book. And I didn't realize it, that I was writing all this for a website, until it was, you know, one of those proverbial somebody was brought to me. Next thing I know, I'm publishing pages on the internet, and I just had no idea. So I just kind of wanted to give a background on angels and ghosts. It's a lot deeper than just some of the you know, basic things you're going to see on a lot of the ghost sites. And I might add, I try not to be the expert on the site. The site is really about people from all over the world, and this is kind of the other concept that I thought was neat and unique, that people from all over the world could submit their evidence, let's call it, for lack of a better term, whether it be pictures or stories or whatever, and then I publish them monthly, and then a visitor to Angels and Ghosts can sit there and they can read and they can look and they can say, you know what, I believe this, I don't believe this. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, the whole purpose of angelsghost.com was to take and make people consider the possibility that maybe spirit and the spirit world does exist, something beyond the physical reality exists. And that's it. You know, it's really for the viewer to make up their own mind. So my mantra on angelsghost.com is, you decide. You know, we throw it up, you decide.
Yeah, and I found personally with my own website that no matter what you throw up there, unless you are there and experience it yourself, nobody else's experience can convince somebody else without them experiencing it personally.
That's right.
And it's strange. It's like trying to feel somebody else's pain. You can't know 100% unless you're extremely empathic. You can't know how long somebody should grieve, and you can't know how long somebody should be hurting, you know? You can't know. You can't know what they experience to be real or not. There's no doubt beyond my mind that life exists after death, because I've had far too much experience to, should I say, that made me a believer 100%. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, or I'm completely insane. If I'm completely insane, I want it that way.
You're happy where you're at, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'll take my insanity, and, you know, it's mine. So.
Well, I'm convinced as well. I mean, I had, as you mentioned, too many personal experiences. You know, the presences and words and thoughts and ideas that come to us that, you know, you weren't thinking are just some of the small ones. For me, you know, an out-of-body experience really cemented things for me. When I was above my body and I couldn't, you know, get back into it, and I was, you know, I was panicking, and, you know, I had an out-of-body experience that was just, it just happened. And it caught me off guard, and it happened when I was meditating. I was not asleep. You know, that's the first thing people want to say, you were sleeping. No, I was not sleeping. They always want to say that on an out-of-body experience. And, you know, I've had friends that that have had them. I had one friend that, you know, when he was a kid on the playground, he fell off the swing and knocked him unconscious, and he was floating above the playground monitor, and the kids all gathered around him. He saw everything everybody was doing until he went back into his body. I had another friend that was sickly in the hospital, and he was so bored that he learned how to walk out of his body. So at night he would go walk in the hospital, then he would go walk at his house in spirit, and walked into his sister's room one night. She sat up and looked right at him, called his name, and he ran back to the hospital, and she knew he was there, but she couldn't physically see him. You know, and just experiences like that that are amazing, just amazing to me.
That's amazing to everyone. I think it's totally mind-boggling and uncomprehendable, yet it happens.
And yes.
Well, which leads me to come to the notion to bring up, you're starting to now collect data for yourself. Correct?
Well, that is correct. Funny you should bring that up, Jill. There is just an amazing thing. I try to follow where I'm led spiritually. You know, we can look for things outwardly. We can look to be led outside of our physical bodies. But I believe that within us, right where we are, is if we quiet the mind and we tune in, we will hear those voices from the other side. And starting last year, it began with a dream, and then I you know, had more leading to what's been called the ghost box, and I'll call it the ghost box phenomena, because this thing's about to break big in the paranormal communities. It's sort of breaking right now. I think it was around March of 2007 that Frank Sumption was on Coast to Coast AM radio, and some of his recordings were brought there by Chris Moon of Haunted Times magazine, and they were played. And a ghost box, for lack of a better term, is an electronic device that Frank started working on after it was either hearing, reading about CB or ham radio operators being able to tune in and pick up these voices that they believed were ghosts or spirits or coming from somewhere else other than what could be explained. So Frank started building these boxes, and these boxes basically will sweep the AM or FM, and I think it's possible to sweep the shortwave band, those frequencies, just kind of like when you had an old car tuner, you know, back in the 70s, you know, you would scroll that dial through and you get all those pieces of audio bits and white noise. And so Frank started building these elaborate boxes, and he never sells them. He only gives them away to where he feels spiritually led to give them, I guess, would be a good way to put it. And it scans the AM or FM band, and on his boxes you can select, you know, the width that you want to scan and the speed that you want it to scan, and it produces these audio bits and white noise. And the belief kind of goes back to the days of the Spiricom. Have you ladies ever heard about the Spiricom?
I've briefly heard about it, but I haven't heard much.
Right.
Well, let me give you a brief rundown on the SpiritCom. All these types of things we're talking about right now are different forms of what's known as ITC, or instrumental transcommunication. And instrumental transcommunication is relatively new. It's the use of electronic devices in order to make audio or video contact with the spirit realm. In other words, able to record the sounds or the images of spirits and ghosts. EVP is sort of a form of that. It has been around since, I believe, the mid to late 50s. But most of the other methods have really been evolving since the 1980s, with the exception of the SpiritCom. And the SpiritCom was a device, it was dubbed that by George Meek and Bill O'Neill, and they ran experiments from 1979 to 1982. And it used these tone generators to create all these audio and white noise bits. And they did it basically similar to Frank's box, or it spanned a frequency range, specifically of the adult male voice. And they were thinking that perhaps people on the other side that were disembodied, ghosts or spirits, could use those audio bits as carrier signals to bring their own voices through. Something amazing happened, according to these two gentlemen. A spirit voice began to get to come through in the radio waves of a deceased NASA scientist called Dr. George Jeffries Mueller. And this doctor started helping them from the other side in perfecting this thing called a SpiritCom. There were recordings made, more than 20 hours of dialogue through the SpiritCom device. And, you know, there's schematics out there at worlditc.org, but nobody to date has been able to reproduce what these men had. So, you know, the SpiritCom's kind of been a, you know, is it real, is it not, is it real, is it not? Because nobody's been able to put something together that's worked like this. Now, the one gentleman, it's important to note, Bill O'Neill was deemed a very capable psychic. So it was believed that his abilities helped to bring people through that box called the Spirit Hub. It actually wasn't a box. It's a great big conglomeration of machines. Now, all this stuff you can see on angelsghost.com. You know, if you get onto the main site and you go under dead communication, you'll start finding all kinds of information like this on SpiritCom and instrumental transcommunication, ghost boxes, and all that fun stuff. Now, getting back to Frank Sumption and his ghost box, which has now been dubbed the Frank's Box. I heard this earlier this year on the radio, and it's like, could this be two-way communication? I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, I was really, really back and forth on the fence, you know. And it sounds pretty goofy when you hear it, because you have all these audio bits and white noise coming through, and all of a sudden, you know, you'll hear voices come through. Some are distinctly clear. Others are kind of garbled and formed out of this mishmash of audio bits, but it's quite fascinating and intriguing. And Frank Sumption was of the mind that this technology needs to be out there, that anybody could, you know, build it and do it. So I think you've seen the schematics, ladies. He put schematic after schematic after schematic out there. And not too many people have been able to build this complicated thing. I think a lot of people have tried, but, you know, you've got to be a pretty good electronics guy or gal to build one of these doggone things.
It didn't look that difficult to me, but I am an engineer. I mean, I have a degree in engineering, so
mm-hmm.
I could follow the schematics. It's just that I haven't had the time nor the willpower to sit down and try.
Well, Frank kind of left some things out of it, I think, too. You know, he put most of it up on those schematics, but there's some things that really could be clarified, you know. And, of course, he's more than willing to clarify it, I'm sure, for anybody who would ask him. He does have a Yahoo group site, which there's, you know, a few hundred members of, and, you know, there's people experimenting with this form of ITC. It's quite exciting. Now, there were some theories early on that this mishmash of audio bits and white noise needed to go through an echo chamber or some type of sound chamber. And Frank, I think, still puts them in his boxes. He may have removed them recently, but, you know, just for sound quality, from what I've been able to determine from his, you know, writing and notes and stuff that he's posted. But it's definitely not needed. It sounds crazy, but these audio bits and white noise seem to be able to be used to be manipulated. What happened, now to bring you closer to date on this thing, is ParanormalSystems.com out of Texas announced the end of October that they were unveiling the mini box. And I believe they demonstrated it out west at a hotel at a ghost conference at the Stanley Hotel, I believe, to mixed reviews. But people that have tried it and have purchased one of these have really liked it. Now, it's a foundation that's producing these, and they've kept the price at $399, and that's for non-profit. They're just trying to cover the cost of hand-assembling these things.
Oh, yeah, that's tedious.
Yes, and it's a mini box. I mean, it's a small thing, so a small version of what Frank has done, and people have had very good results. I'll tell you a little bit more of this, and then you can ask me more. there's another gentleman out of Florida then that came out with a small one, and he was going to take, I think, and look at producing it, and that was called Joe's Box. I can't remember his website, but the mini box was ParanormalSystems.com. Joe's Box, I think, was KeyportParanormal.com. But the most amazing of the latest developments is what's known as a Radio Shack hack. Have any of you heard of this?
No.
No.
Oh, you're going to love this.
Yes, I am.
A gentleman by the name, an online presence of some duck, S-U-M-D-U-C, found that an off-the-shelf Radio Shack radio, 12-469, if you tore it apart, you could clip a pin, put it back together, and it would sweep the AM or FM bands and perform that, creating those audio bits and white noise, similar to what Frank's box and the mini box.
So it's a digital radio that has a scanner on it, and you disable the stop mechanism of the scanner, and it'll go on its own.
Yes, it's exactly right. It just keeps sweeping. You can sweep up or down, and it produces those bits. And in a minute, I can play some of that for you. Now, what happened from that point forward is another gentleman, Mike Kletta of UFOGeek.com, bought the more expensive version, which was a 12-470 radio, which had the external speaker and the TV and weather band on it, as well as AM/FM. And he found by tearing it apart and clipping, I believe, the seventh wire, you could take that older version and make it sweep as well. And it's produced even better, clearer audio bits, and it gives you more capabilities with the external band. So that radio is no longer available by Radio Shack because they've come out with a later model of the 12-470, but there are people picking them up and altering those as well. So,
what was that brand again?
Well, the Radio Shack, the 12-469, you can buy right now at your Radio Shack for $25.
Hold on, I'm writing this down. The 12-469?
Yes. It's a little white digital radio. Now, it does not come with an external speaker, so to run external speakers, what you have to do is buy yourself a little set of amplified speakers while you're at Radio Shack at the same time, and plug them into the headphone jack.
Oh, I've already got some.
There you go. You're rocking and rolling then.
I got a 99 12.6.
What was that?
12-469.
469.
And the older version is a 12-470, and that comes with the external speaker. You cannot, now if you go to your Radio Shack and they have the older version, I'll tell you what to look for. It does not have a green band around the center, in the center of the speaker. It does not have a neon green band. The newer version of the 12-470 is not hackable and will not work. The older version has like chrome buttons in the center of that speaker. So I would urge anybody that listens to this, get out to your Radio Shacks in your area and see if you can pick up some. My cousin just found one down in Atlanta. It was a return in a box, already opened. I said, buy the thing and bring it up to me. So I'm getting it tonight.
The seventh wire that you snip?
I believe it's the seventh, but don't hold me on that. I'll tell you what to do. At angelsghost.com, again, if you go under Dead Communication, there you'll find a link on that page to Ghost Communication. And if you click on that link, it'll take you to a page that at the bottom there's a link to Ghost Box Audio Recordings and Ghost Box Videos. There's two links, actually. And so if you go explore angelsghost.com and under Dead Communication, you'll find it eventually.
Oh, cool.
Now, what you'll see on there is when you get to the Ghost Box Videos, I've put up every one of Mike Coletta's videos on how to hack that those radios, both radios. And so you can see these in action. You can see some Frank's boxes in action. You can, if you want to hack it, you can see how to hack it yourself. Under the audio section, I have posted some recordings that I have received just while experimenting with different ways to set this up with respect to sound. And I sent you two of them, Jill, to play this evening. Now, they're very noisy. This is a 12-469 radio, so it has a little bit more click to it. So as it's sweeping, it clicks a lot more than the 12-470. And I had not cleaned up the audio. But I'll tell you, I was pretty amazed. What I found personally, and I think that Frank and the people experimenting with these will find, will tell you, whether it's a Frank's box or a mini box, or Joe's box, or a Radio Shack hack box, that the person operating the device is the one that brings the spirits.
Wow.
That's what they've come to the conclusion, that it's your ability personally to contact, you know, and your contact with the other realm that enables this to work. And what I mean by that, I was running test experiments with just a little audio recorder, you know, like an Olympus you might record EVPs with.
Mm-hmm.
And I had built a sound chamber because I went to try to put it in an echo box and then outside of an echo box and an amplified mic and an amplified lapel mic and no mic. And I wasn't hearing much the first four recordings. But when I got to that fifth recording, I could swear I was hearing somebody answer my questions. So I kept asking them. And both those recordings I sent to you tonight were experiments that I had run just a few days ago, about a week ago probably. And they were all from test session, I believe, number 5. And if you're able to play them for your audience tonight, you'll be able to hear actually two-way communication. And that's what's exciting. And I think that's what we're going to see in 2008.
Which one would you like me to play first?
Let's start with the easy one, the one that should be badged. It was Say That Again, Thank You. It was a shorter one.
Okay. I have that under Ghost Box 2, and I'm going to play it right now.
Okay.
Just say that again. Thank you.
Okay. Now, let me explain to the audience what they're listening to and what they're looking for. You hear a lot of noise as it's scanning through the dial. It's not been cleaned up at all. But when you have a headset on or the speakers of your computer playing this right in front of you, when you listen to it a couple times, in the beginning, you will hear clearly a male voice say thank you, followed quickly by a female voice saying thanks. And then you'll hear me say, please say that again, and then you hear a very clear, distinct, loud, thank you. So maybe I'll have you play that again.
Yeah, I'm going to play it again, and I turned it up, so it's going to be a lot louder, listeners, so be careful. If you have the phone real close to your ear, I cranked it up to 200%, so here we go.
Just say that again.
Thank you.
I heard it.
You hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
There was definitely a man, and I thought a girl.
Mm-hmm. That was taken from the later on in the recording, and I still haven't analyzed this whole recording. We got into the holidays. I haven't really gotten it all cleaned up. But the next one is just phenomenal to me. The more I listen to it, the more I hear, and you're right, there's a male and a female. I'll let you play it first, and then I'll go back and explain it. This way people can have an opportunity to hear it without what I think it says.
Okay, here we go.
Request number 5, if there are any spirits here, would you please come forth now and speak through the box?
Yes.
Yes?
Right.
Who's there? Come again over, please repeat that.
I am. I belong.
You are? What's your name, sir?
Wow.
Could you hear any of that?
Yeah.
More than one.
Yes.
I swear a whole bunch of people were saying hi. Hi there.
You know, it starts out, I say test number 5, and, I'll ask if there's any spirits, would you please come forth and speak through the box? And instantly I hear a female voice say yes and a male say yes, and then you'll hear me say yes, and then you'll hear a male voice right away say right. And then I say, well, who's there? And I hear a muffled, I am. I say, come again over, can you repeat that? And then you hear very clear, distinct, I am the one. And I then say, you are, what's your name? And then I hear the male voice say, Gino. Try that again, ladies.
I thought the little girl said Beth.
Well, listen to it again, I might have missed it.
Okay, here we go. Shall I turn it up a little?
Go for it.
Okay.
Test number 5. If there are any spirits here, would you please come forth now and speak through the box?
Yes.
Yes?
Right.
Who's there? Come again over. Please repeat that.
I am. I'm the one.
You are? What's your name, partner?
I heard Gino. What's your name?
I heard Beth.
You heard that female voice say Beth?
Yeah.
And, you know, that female voice to me for some reason is very familiar, and I can't place it. I don't know if it's something I've been hearing all my life, you know, in spirit or what. But what I wanted to impress upon your audience is, you know, the first 4 recordings, I didn't really hear anything. And what this recording was, this was from the Noisy 12-469 radio that you can buy at Radio Shack right now with the pin clipped. And I had it in front of me about 2 feet running through amplified speakers. And I took a little amplified microphone and put it underneath, you know, where my head would be on the table and ran that into the audio recorder. And I actually ran a headset into that amplified mic. It's a listen-up mic, you know, those mics that you can put a headset onto and you can amplify like your TV and everything for people that are hard of hearing.
Yeah.
I used that amplified mic to be able to hear everything that was going on and then also record off of that. That way I was able to really adjust the audio level and of the mic and everything when I was doing it. But how exciting, the first 4 recordings I heard, I didn't really hear much, if anything. But there comes a point where you start seeing it transform, where those audio bits start transforming and being manipulated, I think. And I guess I want to say that because a lot of people will, you know, probably go out and they'll buy a Radio Shack radio and they'll plug it in for 5 minutes and then be done with it. If we're actually making contact with people on the other side, we have to be patient because, first of all, they may need to know how to manipulate it. We may need to learn how to hear what's coming through and how to talk and how to wait and be patient and understanding. There may also need to be times communicated, like every morning at 10 a.m. I'm going to sit down for 10 minutes. If there's any messages, you know, let's bring them forth now, and I'm going to record these sessions. The other thing I would say is, if anybody wants to experiment with this form of ITC, I highly recommend recording them, because it takes an ear to hear this as it's coming so fast. Things seem to come fast through it. And if your ear is not trained to it, and I'm not claiming mine is, but if your ear is not trained to it, you're going to miss a lot. In a recording, when you can go back and listen to it over and over and say, oh, my gosh, I didn't hear that at the time.
Right.
Wow, what a difference.
Yeah, it's not going to happen instantly. It has to. You also have to realize that sometimes it takes a little while for the spirits to understand that you're wanting something from them.
Yes.
I mean, they don't automatically know it. To try to grab the attention of something that normally is not required for their attention is like, you know, getting the right phone number.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I'll admit, ladies, I was really on the fence when I bought one of these and I hacked it, and I'm still on the fence, but I'll tell you what, I'm leaning heavily to one side. I'm leaning real heavily.
Well, I'm going to play that one more time for our listeners, just one more time, because this is
absolutely
very... This is very intriguing to me, and I think it's kind of obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Sandy, do you think it's obvious? I mean, they're specifically answering.
Yeah, they are. Oh, that's
repeating
it. I can hear it distinctly.
Right. Okay, here it goes.
That's number 5. Is there any spirit there? Would you please come forth now and speak through the box?
Yes.
Yes. Who's there? Come again over, please repeat that.
I am. I belong.
You are? What's your name, partner?
Wow. It's almost like radio wave. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable,
it's
almost.
It's amazing that that's the same voice you're catching each time, too.
Yes.
I mean, the girl's voice is the same each time, and the man's voice is the same each time.
Uh-huh. Pretty compelling, isn't it?
I've heard it once, and I'm convinced.
Well, I'll tell you, I was ruined after that recording. You
Kathy
know, just
popped up and said she hears Beth and Gino.
I heard
yeah.
Gino, yes.
I think I know where you're saying Beth, because I think you're right. I'm going to go back myself and listen to that with headphones. It's on the website, and there's some other recordings, too. So, you know, if people want to analyze these more. And then, you know, the plan is I'm going to experiment more with both boxes, try to work more on sound quality, and I'll post my results on those pages as they come. But a couple other interesting points with this. As I was experimenting before these two that you played tonight, I was working on the audio, the volume levels. And, you know, I said something, and I picked up this recording. It says, yes, yes, on the level. I'm assuming it's talking about the volume level. This was early on when I was experimenting with this. Then there was another recording that I was asking questions to see if spirits could hear and answer through the ghost box. Again, not really trying to get answers, just trying to test the sound quality. And I heard distinctly, "Can Chuck repeat that?" Well, Chuck's a nickname of mine. And then the third recording that you didn't hear tonight, I was really frustrated this when I began with it, and I was trying to get it through an echo box and play around with this. And I have a recording also. All these are posted on that Ghost Audio, you know, Ghost Box Audio Recordings page, where there's somebody that says, "Just work on it." Just work on it.
Wow.
I'm going, and I didn't hear these until I was just playing back the audio, you know, that I had recorded. So, and I'll tell you one more story on that. I heard my wife's name distinctly. I've heard several of my names distinctly, but the other day I was just playing with it and I heard my wife's name distinctly once. And I'm thinking, why would they say my wife's name once if that's a spirit? Guess what happens? The phone rings. Within a minute or two, I pick it up. It's my wife.
Oh,
I'm going,
wow.
Okay, are you trying to tell me you're watching what's going on?
Wow.
So,
in other words, the person that comes through these boxes tend to be connected to the recorder or to the person who is the receiver.
Yes, the person. We bring the spirits. Now, I do want to also mention, I think that, again, I've not run enough experiments on this, but I believe that a lot of the people that I'm hearing come through are guides of some sort. There are people that are bringing, you know, spirit, and when I say guide, I'm thinking somebody from, you know, the light, somebody that's from the light. There are people, though, that are picking up entities that are not from the light, and I would say those would be ghosts, and, I mean, they're swearing and, you know, some really foul stuff coming through. For some people, again, I think we set the expectations. I think we bring the people, and I know there's people that use the spirit guides or the controls, as some people call them, to bring forth people who have passed, you know. And but they allow the control or the guide to, you know, maintain control on the other side of what's
right.
going on. One other point that I think people should know, some of these controls or guides have been the same people, same names coming through different boxes for different people that are part of this group of Franksumptions, which I think is fascinating, even overseas. And there seems to be an excitement that has been brought forth by these spirits of it growing. Of it going to another continent, of people experimenting with it. And their message is make them believe. That's what some people are picking up, make them believe. And, you know, many will not believe, but make them believe. So I think that they're, you know.
They're helping us. They're trying to build this bridge between our two realms.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that, you know, if we come together as one in belief and purpose and understanding that there's a power, there's, you know, there's spiritually, there's something in that connectedness. Although that connectedness exists already, it's the understanding, it's the knowing, it's the belief that we're not alone, that, you know, we are surrounded. I'll give you a biblical quote, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, you know, these spirits that are with us, that interact with us on, you know, this plane. It's phenomenal.
Oh, I have no doubts in my mind whatsoever. None. But then again, you know, I'm loony, so.
Well, you know, it's funny.
Who you ask?
You know, we started out talking about the spiritual side of it and, you know, the mission of angels and ghosts to bring forth the spiritual with the, you know, the paranormal and the and, you know, some evidence. It's really now I feel compelled to really chase down some of these latest advancements in technology and demonstrate them out in the field and present some new stuff. I mean, how many ghost pictures are we going to look at with orbs in them? You know, that could be caused from God knows what, you know, from dust to rain, you know, to true spirit orbs. I do believe they're true spirit orbs, but a lot of what we see are not.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, how many pictures and videos can we see? But if we could bridge the gap some way with technology and really come up with, I don't know if it's proof. It's never enough proof, I guess, for everybody. But
I have a quick question for you from a listener. They want to know if you've noticed more religious turning spiritual, more religious people turning spiritual around.
I don't know if I can put a number to that or, you know, to quantify that. I will tell you that from my experience that everybody seems to have a time when they can hear spiritually, a time when the scales drop off the eyes, when the ears become unplugged, a time when there's a quickening, an awakening that leads them to start looking for answers. I know that when somebody can, it's not their time, you can, you know, you could stand on your head and it would not change them. It would not move them. They would not consider. So I do think there is a spiritual awakening. I mean, my feeling spiritually that 2008, we're going to see some more things happen of magnitude that are going to continue to bring people forth. I think people are hearing that inner voice, that calling. I think the spirits on the other side are giving messages to people. They may believe them as to be their own thoughts, their own ideas, but I think there are people on the other side that are speaking to us, and we just need to simply tune in within ourselves to hear those messages. And I think they're going to increase. I think there's an excitement. I do think there's a plan.
Do you think that would account for the Mayan calendar and the Mayan times and ending or a new beginning in 2012?
Well, I think the Mayan calendar prophecies are definitely intriguing. I think that a new beginning is at hand. I hate to see people, though, wait till 2012. I heard one lady discussing, you know, by her calculations, is 2012 actually the right
already
date?
Here because of miscalculations.
Is it 2008, you know? And, you know, if you looked at, you know, not to bore people with biblical numbers and things, 7 is completion. The number 8 is in 2008 means new beginnings. So,
right.
You know, I'm really excited because I believe that the path that I've been given for me personally is to bring things like this to the forefront. And I get dreams and I get leadings, and I mean, I know when they're yanking on me to do this or do that or concentrate on something. And I will tell you, they're having me concentrate heavily on this latest thing. And you know, when you start doubting yourself, it's like, well, nope, I'm being led down this path for a purpose. And so I think that purpose is that there is a spiritual awakening that's happening. I think it is happening to those that are religious, but I think it's happening to those who are non-religious.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. LC, we've ran out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I want to have you back.
Yeah, me
so,
too.
You know, when later on, when you find more stuff that we can play, if we don't have some of our own stuff to...
I
want one of these boxes.
Well, I'm sure you'll be frequenting the local Radio Shacks tomorrow.
Yeah, I sure will be.
No, I guess tomorrow, but I sure probably will by next week or something. Tomorrow's a hectic day, and I have a funeral to go to. My mother-in-law passed away, and that's who I'd like to communicate. And well, I'm pretty sure I already have, but that's another story. And I will draw my conclusions at a later time. I want to thank you again and remind everybody to check out your website at angelsandghosts.com, right?
Angelsghosts.com, no end in there.
Okay, angelsghosts.com, and that's the end of our show. Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for having me, ladies. Everybody have a good evening.
You
yeah,
too.
You too.
It was great.
Thank you.
Good night, listeners.
Good night.
Good night.
And on to our archives. Unfortunately, Elsie is not able to stay on because he has prior engagements that he has to return to, unless he's changed his mind.
Well, let me take a peek and see if those prior engagements are here yet. And if they are not, I could stay for a couple minutes if there's any questions or anything, but I don't want to be rude in my guess.
Oh, that's plenty. That's perfectly understandable. Tomorrow I would be probably going to Radio Shack and checking out one of those radios, but unfortunately I have, oh gosh, it's a busy day. We have
busy
a funeral
day.
Tomorrow. It's my daughter's birthday, which
oh.
I imagine my daughter having her birthday on the day of her grandmother's funeral, you know.
Oh my.
So
I've got a few minutes, by the way, and I am so sorry to hear about Grandma.
Well, you know, and I know that it's a tragedy and a blessing. It's, you know, we hate to think of something so final, but you have to understand that we are all going to go. And her mind was gone.
Mm-hmm.
She could not have lived a quality life. She was in the end result of Alzheimer's. She didn't know anything anymore. She didn't know how to take care of herself. She didn't, you know, she didn't have a quality life. It was the point where we had prayed for her passing, and we got our wish on Christmas Eve.
Mm.
Although it was kind of a shock that we did so soon, it was a blessing for her to move on, and thank, you know, we're happy for her. It's her graduation.
Yes. I understand.
So I'm really thinking that, you know, we might be able to communicate with her. That's, you know, I don't know where, if that would be something we could do with a box like that.
Well, I would say, you know, given your abilities, I would think that you would be able to do so.
Yeah, I would think so. I tend to be able to get signals and information without anything. It's just that I can't prove it.
Right, right.
I can only give bits and information, and jaws drop sometimes, and sometimes I feel like an idiot.
Well, I can tell you that the box, the 12469, was experimented with by Andrew Calder and also Chip Coffey off Paranormal States last week, and they too, I know people that are in that group, and they too were receiving messages and stuff. So it's not just me, it's not just a couple other people. There's a lot of people that are hearing, you know, the messages come through just fine. You don't have to do anything fancy. You don't have to, you know, put it through any type of, you know, sound chamber, et cetera, which is exciting. I mean, you're talking about a quick little simple operation, you know, putting batteries in it, and away you go with your experiments. So quite exciting. There's been a lot of debate regarding Chris Moon and you know, his Frank's Box sessions. You know, he's charging X amount of dollars to run his sessions, but I don't know the man personally, but I do believe he does make contact through the box. I will say that because I know, again, people that have witnessed it personally, you know, there with Chris Moon, and I do believe that he does reach it, but I also believe he's being tapped, not to make excuses, but I do believe his demand on his time with this thing. He's one that is able to hear really clear what's coming through the thing, which is interesting. But there's been some messages that, you know, he's brought forth that have been questionable. But I think the point is the thing does work. I do think that there's going to be a lot of people experimenting with these types of technologies, and it's exciting. I think this field's really going to change in the next year.
Oh, I think so too.
I'm looking at your website right now.
By the way, there's close to 2,000 pages on that website.
Wow.
So you could look for a long time at stuff.
I just totally rebuilt my website, so it probably is very different than what you saw previously.
I jumped on it today. Yeah, it's looking really, really nice.
That is, it's only, I did that 2 days before Christmas. The day before Christmas, the day before Christmas Eve, I decided I was going to rebuild my website like I needed to do it then, because once I redid it, I had to finish it because I couldn't leave a bunch of pages down, and there are still unfinished pages on there, but it's slowly coming along.
Well, it definitely takes a lot of time, and it's a passion, and you know, you're doing a lot of exciting stuff that I'm definitely going to be following, so including next week on the radio.
Oh yes, oh I'm excited. Kathy's excited. I did get her approval. I asked her today if she would allow me to hypnotize her on the air, and she says, "Oh, I don't know if I can be." I said, "Sure, you can."
Good
old don't know it yet.
Everybody can be. Everybody experiences a hypnotic state two to three times a day.
Hmm.
It's a natural state. It's just, it can be induced. A lot of people don't understand that. We go through a hypnotic state a couple times a day, especially during sugar drops.
Well, I've been there all the time.
Yeah.
I dwell there.
Rush hour. You know how many people are in a hypersuggestible state during rush hour?
Hmm.
Yeah, that's why it's so expensive to have a advertisement during that time.
I see.
They're all nervous and having panic from being on the road rage. They're all anxious, going through panic, and trying to get home and trying to calm down to see the highway and maintain control. And that's exactly...